It was a week of early mornings and late nights for many officials of the Reagan administration. Two former White House officials pleaded the Fifth Amendment in refusing to answer questions about the Iran arms deal before the Senate Intelligence Committee. Leaders of both houses of Congress decided to form separate select committees to consolidate the multiple committee inquiries. And the Attorney General petitioned a federal court to name a special counsel to conduct the criminal investigation.
Flew back to Washington amid increasing concerns about the damage that's been done to his presidency by the secret deal sending arms to Iran and cash to the Contras.
Your presidency is tottering. Do you realize this? It can be saved, but only you can save it, and only if you will talk with us, the Congress. This nation does not need and does not want another destroyed presidency. And so I plead, Mr. President, clean house, out with all the facts, out with all the malfactors.
But he ducked questions about calling a special session of Congress or appointing an independent prosecutor to investigate the charges of wrongdoing. And despite promises of cooperation by the president to the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, White House Chief of Staff Donald Regan left open the possibility that his testimony to the committee's closed-door probe may be barred on the grounds of executive privilege.
As much as possible, we will make people available to the Congress.
I mean, will you testify?
Well, I have not been asked to, and it would be rather unusual. And I don't know what I could add to what they already know.
But certainly if you were asked, and there are some members in Congress that would like that.
I can't guarantee that, because the advice I give to the president obviously is a matter of executive privilege, or else you wouldn't have a separation of powers, which is necessary under the Constitution.
What's being called the biggest crisis of the Reagan administration is clearly frustrating the president. In an interview published in the December 8th issue of Time magazine, the president pointed the finger at the press, saying, "There is a bitter bile in my throat these days. What is driving me up the wall is that this wasn't a failure until the press got a tip from that rag in Beirut and began to play it up."
Good morning, Mr. President. Morning.
President Reagan, trying to put his house back in order, has directed his National Security Council to cease operational involvement in sensitive diplomatic, military, or intelligence missions. The president told his special review board to study whether and under what circumstances the NSC should be so involved.
"You will have the full cooperation of all agencies of the executive branch and the White House staff in carrying out your assignment."
The board members say their questioning may include the president himself.
"The president will be available to respond to questions from us. He has pledged his cooperation.
We are free to put questions to anybody we choose to within the government, and we will do that."
The special review board, however, will not have the power to subpoena witnesses. It is to report to the president within 60 days. The board will talk to fired NSC operative Oliver North and former NSC chiefs Poindexter and McFarland, among others. The special review board will not look into possible criminal activity. Attorney General Meese, along with the FBI, is doing that.
"The Department of Justice investigation is continuing with my full support and cooperation. And if they determine an independent counsel is called for, I would welcome that appointment."
Meanwhile, questions persist about what the president meant when he said last Tuesday he was not fully informed about what was going on.
"Does that mean you had no knowledge at all?"
"That's what I said."
In fact, the president has not said that. So reporters requested White House spokesman Larry Speaks to ask bluntly if Reagan had any knowledge of the Swiss bank account contra funding matter. Reagan's reply, "You can tell them flat out that I had no knowledge whatsoever of it until Ed Meese briefed me on it Monday afternoon."
"I can appreciate why some of these things are difficult to comprehend, and you're entitled to have your questions answered." "Since the outset of the controversy over our policy relating to Iran, I've done everything in my power to make all the facts concerning this matter known to the American people.
I can appreciate why some of these things are difficult to comprehend, and you're entitled to have your questions answered.
It was an extraordinary noontime presidential address from the Oval Office, hastily scheduled. The tone was conciliatory. The intent was to contain the growing threat to his presidency.
Yesterday, I had my first meeting with the Special Review Board. That review board is made up of three men of unquestioned integrity and broad experience in foreign and national security policy. In the meeting with the board, they promised me a tough, no-nonsense investigation. And I promised them the full cooperation of the White House staff and all agencies of the executive branch. No area of the NSC staff's activities will be immune from review. And when the board reports to me, I intend to make their conclusions and recommendations available to Congress and to the American people.
The president requested an independent counsel to investigate possible criminal activity.
With the appointment of an independent counsel, we will have in place a dual system for assuring a thorough review of all aspects of this matter. If illegal acts were undertaken, those who did so will be brought to justice. If actions in implementing my policy were taken without my authorization, knowledge, or concurrence, this will be exposed and appropriate corrective steps will be implemented. I recognize fully the interest of Congress in this matter and the fact that in performing its important oversight and legislative role, Congress will want to inquire into what occurred. We will cooperate fully with these inquiries.
Trying to rebuild his tattered National Security Council, the president turned to veteran Washington insider Frank Carlucci to replace John Poindexter, who resigned a week ago as National Security Advisor. The president endorsed a special Watergate-style congressional committee to investigate further.
These congressional inquiries should continue, but I do believe Congress can carry out its duties in getting the facts without disrupting the orderly conduct of a vital part of this nation's government. Accordingly, I am urging the Congress to consider some mechanism that will consolidate its inquiries. Such a step has already been requested by several members of Congress. I support the idea.
His pledge of cooperation and his other actions were generally well received, the first such congressional praise since the Iranian arms deal was exposed.
On Capitol Hill, the president's supporters breathed a sigh of relief. Republican leaders met with Mr. Reagan just before his TV address.
I feel good about what the president told me flat out, about the honesty and truthfulness with which he told us the events as he knows them. And I believe the president telling me the truth. That's what makes me feel good about it, because the important thing here is the presidency.
He's been very forthcoming, and my view is he's done an excellent job. Everything that's been requested almost has been done by the president.
There is bipartisan support for Mr. Reagan's choice of Frank Carlucci to be National Security Advisor.
I think the appointment of Frank Carlucci is a salutary one. I know Frank Carlucci is a man of character and ability. And integrity, and I think he will conduct that office well and will give the president good advice.
I hope that that new appointment goes through very rapidly and that he's on duty today before the end of the day so that we get somebody in charge of NSC.
While congratulating the president for what he's done so far, some Democrats say it's clear that some in the administration have broken the law.
I think that the president should give a leave of absence or ask for the resignation of any person or persons who were in positions to know what was going on, who were in positions to have informed him as to what was going on.
I don't think that the president has been served well, and if I was in Don Regan's position, I would resign.
Just as with Ehrlichman and Halderman, the chiefs of staff and others have got to go, and we have to move on.
But some Republicans defend Donald Regan, the president's chief of staff.
I have enormous sympathy for anybody who's got the job. It is one of the most difficult jobs in the city, and I think Don Regan, on balance, has done a good job.
I don't think it served any purpose at this time to have Don Regan leave.
But amid continuing calls for the resignation of White House Chief of Staff Donald Regan, Senate Democratic Leader Robert Byrd said there are more things the president should do.
One would be that of cleaning house around him, and the other would be stating to the American people that he recognized, even in the with the benefit of hindsight, that this has been a mistake.
I'm not certain the president's quite prepared to do that yet.
Senior White House officials say neither of those actions is likely. One source says of Donald Regan, there's no doubt he will survive. He's stronger every day. President Reagan is described as firmly behind his embattled chief of staff.
Officials here believe the actions taken by the president can alter the image of stonewalling that has hurt so much. But conceding the president's popularity is in a free fall that may not yet be over, one top official here says the challenge now is to ride the tide of the crisis instead of drowning in it.
Thursday, Attorney General Edwin Meese completed the formal document that asks a panel of federal judges to appoint a special counsel to investigate the Iran arms deal.
The law says that when the Attorney General finds that further investigation of possible criminal law implications would be desirable, then it is appropriate to ask for an independent counsel when you have a particular situation as we have here.
A special three-judge panel is expected to take a week to 10 days to name the independent counsel. Before it was prepared for delivery to the judges, Meese's application went through several rewrites. Justice Department sources say language was later added requesting the special investigator be given broader powers. That would include the right to expand the investigation beyond the two former White House officials named so far by the administration, Admiral John Poindexter and Marine Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North. Attorney General Meese is not required by law to disclose details of his petition, but administration sources say Meese will ask the court to do so. Until there's public disclosure of the petition on the Iran arms affair, the administration is not saying which laws may have been broken. But administration sources indicate the laws coincide with some of those on a list sent to Meese by Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee. They include conspiracy to defraud the government, the Anti-Deficiency Act, which forbids unauthorized expenditure, misuse of public money, the Arms Export Control Act, and obstruction of justice amid allegations of file shredding. Administration sources say top officials, like CIA Director Casey, are not included in Meese's list of subjects for criminal investigation. But the independent counsel will have a broad enough mandate to include them, too, if he thinks they were involved.
As the Attorney General was deciding to transfer the criminal investigation to a special counsel, the political investigation was picking up steam on Capitol Hill in the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Mr. McFarland.
The first three witnesses, former National Security Advisor Robert McFarland, who says he learned about the diversion of Iran arms money last spring. Former CIA Deputy Director John McMahon, who's been tied in some media reports to the initial shipment of U.S. arms to Iran. And Oliver North, the Marine Lieutenant Colonel fired from the National Security Council staff, allegedly the key figure in the transfer of Iran weapons cache to the Nicaraguan Contras. It was well into Monday evening when the committee finished its work for the day.
I am satisfied that we are getting the kind of candor that we had hoped to get and the kind of cooperation from the administration that the president and others had promised.
Admiral John Poindexter's long-anticipated appearance was short-lived. He spent less than 20 minutes with Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Dave Durenberger of Minnesota and his Vice Chairman Patrick Leahy of Vermont. Though Durenberger said later, Poindexter would be back. Meanwhile, committee members remain generally tight-lipped about the kind of testimony they are hearing. Senators refused to comment on reports that ousted National Security Council aide Oliver North had used the Fifth Amendment to avoid answering questions when he testified.
Can you tell us, the president said he'd be forthcoming, yet Oliver North has reportedly taken the Fifth Amendment. The chief of staff has announced that he's covered by executive privilege. How forthcoming has he been? And shouldn't these people be testifying?
Well, you know, everybody has rights in this country, and I assume Oliver North would like to preserve his rights until at least he had about 48 hours notice that he was going to be called to the Intelligence Committee. He's not even, I don't know, I'm sure he's entitled to have counsel in the committee with him. I don't quarrel with him.
Committee Chairman Durenberger said all the witnesses had been cooperative.
All of them have been open, and I would say that their testimony has been quite candid.
Meanwhile, President Reagan Tuesday issued his own call for the creation of a special select committee to investigate the Iran-Contra connection.
Accordingly, I am urging the Congress to consider some mechanism that will consolidate its inquiries.
Senate Democrats appear ready to go along with the president's call, but John Glenn of Ohio is one of the few Democrats so far to agree a special session of Congress may be necessary to establish a special Watergate-style investigating committee.
I agree with those who have said that I don't think we can just let this wait until the new year and wait for a couple of months before we get started on it.
I think that would send the wrong signal. It would create an atmosphere of crisis. It isn't necessary.
The party has some stakes in this also. We certainly want to be helpful to the president, but we have also a party interest, and we'd like to get moving on it.
But for now, it seems, the Senate Intelligence Committee is determined to press on with its work.
The two Intelligence Oversight Committees have the unique responsibility of determining how this particular affair violated national security policy and national security legislation. And we will continue to do that as part of our authorized mandate.
Admiral John Poindexter's first appearance here lasted only 17 minutes. This visit was under subpoena. It coincided with President Reagan's latest assertion of unprecedented cooperation with Congress on the Iran affair. But once again, former National Security Advisor Poindexter refused to answer questions, as his lawyer explained.
He interposed his rights under the Fifth Amendment today before the committee under the advice of counsel.
Beckler said Poindexter may be willing to testify at some point and insisted he wants to cooperate.
Can you just say if cooperation is consistent with invoking the Fifth Amendment?
I think in certain circumstances it is, yes.
Republican Committee Chairman Dave Durenberger and Democratic Vice Chairman Patrick Leahy expressed disappointment, but little doubt they could proceed with or without John Poindexter's testimony.
If we don't have testimony, we don't have cooperation. Now, maybe in the future, we will have testimony, then I would consider it cooperation.
We can fill in the facts around Admiral Poindexter with some ease. We can do that with people who were carrying out whatever instructions they were given in addition to Ollie North. And we can also do that, we will eventually do that by talking to people above the Poindexter level to find out what he said to them.
Senator Leahy also confirmed reports that ousted National Security Council staff member Oliver North, too, had invoked the Fifth Amendment. But should immunity be offered? Democratic committee member Ernest Hollings says no.
And we get into deeper quicksand. And before long, we catch the president. I prefer that he catch himself.
Thursday's key witness, Deputy CIA Director Robert Gates. Committee Chairman Dave Durenberger said no one on Thursday invoked the Fifth Amendment. Monday, Secretary of State George Shultz testifies in open session before the House Foreign Affairs Committee. Later witnesses include former National Security Advisor John Poindexter and CIA Director William Casey. Meanwhile, the Senate Intelligence Committee continues serving its subpoenas.
Democratic and Republican leaders of both houses agreed this week to consolidate the multiple planned committee investigations of the Iran arms deal into just two inquiries, by the creation of separate House and Senate select committees. The Senate committee will have 11 members, 6 Democrats and 5 Republicans. The House panel will consist of 15 representatives, 9 Democrats and 6 Republicans. Senate Republican Leader Dole is asking the president to call Congress back into special session this month to put those two select committees into business immediately. But many other congressional leaders of both parties argued against a special session during White House meetings with the president on Friday. After he left Washington for Camp David, the White House announced that Mr. Reagan had decided not to call the Congress back.
We want peace, no more lies. Reagan, good. You can't
hide. Parted NSC officials John Poindexter and Oliver North, who have both declined to answer congressional questions invoking Fifth Amendment protection against self-incrimination.
I think it should be perfectly obvious. It is not new or unusual. It's happened many times before. But when there is going to be an independent counsel starting an investigation, and individuals who have no access to the files or papers or time for preparation or questions have done just exactly the same thing.
Officials say the president wants Poindexter and North to tell everything, consistent with the advice of their counsel. And Oliver North seems to be following that advice very closely. But others are speaking their minds. Defense Secretary Caspar Weinberger said Wednesday in France, the president got bad advice. There are no moderates in Iran. White House spokesman Larry Speke says the White House is at odds with the Secretary of Defense on that one. But apparently not with Vice President Bush, who said Wednesday what the president has refused to admit, that mistakes were made.
and I was not aware of, and I oppose any diversion of funds, any ransom payments, or any circumvention of the will of the Congress, the law of the United States of America.
The commingling of funds and the skimming of funds and sending them off to some other location was not the right way to approach it. Nevertheless, his intentions were correct. His decisions were correct at the time.
The president believes he's done all he can to address the Iran arms scandal, and his strategy now is ride out the storm.
The machinery is in place to seek answers to the questions that are being asked, to fix what needs fixing, and to restore complete confidence to the conduct of our foreign policy. All of this we intend to do, and that's my pledge to you and to the American people.
We want peace, no one
While the storm rages, the president is trying to stay the course.
If I have one message for you today, it's this, that America has a great future ahead.
But the Iran arms scandal promises to distract from virtually all the president's business for the foreseeable future. And officials here worry that if the controversy drags out, the president will be unable to accomplish anything of significance.
The inquiry begins. The big story this week. This is Don Miller, CNN.